How do you deal with setbacks in your life? Do you find some way of learning from them, or do you find that when you have setbacks, you just feel that, you know, life is just too overwhelming and find it very difficult to move on? Today, we're talking about setbacks, what they are and how you can deal with them in your life. If you'd like to find out more about how you can improve your relationships and create better relationships, or how to find and create a fulfilling relationship, head over to therelationshipmaze.com, where we have lots of free advice and also our online course, The Relationship Maze, where you can discover how to create a fulfilling relationship. And press subscribe right now. Welcome to today's podcast. And today we're going to be talking about setbacks.
Yeah. So setbacks, what are they? I mean, it's this experience of something happens to you that might be completely unexpected, might be sort of semi-expected, that gives you a sense of, oh, yeah, I'm not quite moving forward here. I'm kind of stepping back and I'm having an experience that's really very disappointing for me. Yeah. Yeah. Can you think of an example recently that you, where you experienced a setback?
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose it's there's different types of setbacks. There's things that happen unavoidably that aren't to do with us. Yeah. And there's things that might we trying to do and we experience some sort of block. So like before Christmas, when my car broke down, which is still kind of an issue. And that creates a problem in lots of other areas of life. And it feels like, what, you know, there's different ways we can respond. Like, why did this happen to me? Or it could be, how can I cope without a car? You know, there's different ways we can react to that. So there's these kind of quite physical things that it's almost like are presented to us by the universe.
Yes.
As opposed to, you know, you're, for example, kind of applying for jobs and you turn up late for the job, or you basically, you kind of stumble on your words and it feels more like it's to do with you. And you feel there's something about you that's stopping you from getting there. So there's different, more sort of internal or external experience with setbacks.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that sometimes the setback might be caused by something that has absolutely nothing, that's completely external to you, as you say. Or it might be something that you somehow have contributed to through some of your behaviours or through, something that you have brought about.
And, excuse me. And I suppose that that sense of setbacks as well, also it assumes at some level, I believe, that there has to be some sense of somewhere you want to go.
Of course,
yeah. Although a lot of people experience setbacks and don't really have a sense of what they want anyway, but feel that their life is continually blocked.
Yeah, but a setback entails that there's, you can only experience a setback if you have a sense of what should be. Yeah, what should be happening next, what should be going on. And if that then does happen, then you have a sense of, oh, there's something here that's holding me back, that's not quite right. And that might be happening on a smaller or larger scale, of course. Yeah, this sense of being held back somehow.
Yeah, and I think that's a useful insight in some ways as well, because if you feel you're being held back, but you don't really know what you want consciously, then experiencing a setback shows that at some level there is something that you want. And I suppose it's being able to kind of lean into that feeling of being set back. I don't always like the expression lean in, but leaning into kind of that feeling that goes with that, allowing yourself to explore what's this about, can actually help you get more insights into what you want. So this is, you know, there's, we can feel set back when we know what we want and we feel we're blocked. We can also have that feeling set back when we don't think we know what we want. But like I said, that can give you an insight more into what you do really want.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, because you notice that there's a disappointment here because something didn't happen and that gives you some information. So you can treat it just as data and information if you're so inclined, rather than as a big stroke of destiny's error. Like, why me? Why does it always happen to me? That sort of response.
I mean, it's not just data and information, I think, because there is often a, quite a strong feeling. But I think it's also being able to notice what is that feeling. And I think in terms of dealing with setbacks, you know, there are some things that, that are important. I think the first thing is allow yourself to feel what you're feeling.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, of course, it's not just data. It's not just a cognitive experience when you have a setback. It's a it's an experience that you have in your limbic system, so there are emotional responses to it. So this sense of feeling sad or feeling angry, for example, because something happens. Yeah, so you allow yourself, if you make some space for it, if you allow it to unfold, so to speak, if you allow for your feelings to emerge, you get a more rounded picture of, oh, this is what's going on here, this is what I am experiencing. Oh, there's a whole range of emotional responses that I have here in this situation. How curious that I have these emotional responses, right? So it's this sort of sense of openness towards it. Yeah,
so it's that sense of allowing yourself that time to feel the feelings that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, when we don't allow ourselves to feel those feelings, we often suppress them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit like, you have a bottle of fizzy drink and it just gets shaken up and the pressure builds up and up, and it's sort of at time that feels like it's going to burst. And I think sometimes, again, when we don't allow ourselves that time to feel and just be able to process those emotions and work through them, then that pressure builds up.
Mm.
So it's important to allow yourself time to feel. And also, like I said, notice what you're feeling, because sometimes, as we said, you know, we don't think we know what we want, so we don't really know why we're being set back, or set back for what.
Mm.
You know, what is it that we're heading towards anyway?
Mm.
But by taking time to notice those feelings, that can help us find more direction in terms of what is important in your life that is actually you feel you are being set back from.
Yes, and I think it also makes more room for the cognitions then, to some extent, for the reflective piece of work, which is, well, why, you know, this just happened, so setback might also be the breakup of a relationship, for example. So this just happened. Then you can make some room for, well, also maybe why did this happen? That's addressing the cognitions, isn't it? Why did this situation come about? And that, of course, is a larger inquiry. That is necessary in order to understand maybe particular patterns. So if you experience setbacks frequently, if you have frequent relationship breakups, well, if your car breaks down frequently, that might be because you haven't attended to it, for example. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's this sort of it's trying to get into the underlying principles here, the underlying patterns, the underlying issues that might bring about a series of setback. I mean, this is relevant when it's something that is very repetitive. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing is, you know, if something happens once, it could be just a coincidence.
Mm.
If something happens twice, you know, maybe there's a pattern, but it's not really enough information. But I think, yeah, if something happens repeatedly, like three times or more, maybe there's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
If you end up getting into the same sort of relationships that seem to never work out, and you feel that's a setback in terms of finding love,
mm-hmm.
and it happens time after time, maybe, you know, it could be bad luck, but it could be there's a pattern. You know, is there something that you're trying to kind of relive or trying to kind of work through, which needs to be looked at so that you can actually find a relationship that is more fulfilling?
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing is the second point is maybe kind of finding that, you know, from the experience of a setback, is there something that can be learned or something that needs to be processed?
Exactly. Because I think that's the risk with a very stoic approach. I mean, I think stoicism can take you a long way, this sense of like withstanding assaults, withstanding attacks, withstanding difficult scenarios in your life. You know, it's good to, sometimes you have to be a bit like a rock in the ocean, kind of just be able to withstand it and to survive it, etc. But if you only have that kind of stoic attitude of, well, I need to just, you know, I'll just need to get on with it, live through it briefly and then kind of lick my wounds and then off I go, that doesn't allow that crucial part, I think, which is the analysis, so to speak, the sense of, well, is there something here that I can take some learning from? Is there something here that I also have some control over, for example? Or, you know, are these events happening to me? Are they completely outside of my control? Have they got nothing to do with me? Am I really just at the receiving end of destiny and fate all the time? Or is there something here that I contribute to repeatedly that that enables these setbacks for me.
Yes, absolutely. So knowing that, you know, in life there are going to be challenges for everybody.
Sure.
You know, some people do seem to have lives where there seem to be less challenges, and some people seem to have lives where there are more challenges. But we're all going to have challenges of some sort. Mm-hmm. So it's knowing that these things will happen, but how you deal with them. But if we experience the same sort of challenges again and again, is there something that maybe you can learn from? Maybe some responsibility that you can think about? Where do you put the responsibility? Is it on other people? Mm-hmm. Is it yourself? So with relationships again, if you keep getting into relationships that don't seem to work out, you know, if I put the responsibility out myself and blame other people, I might think, well, there's a lot of bad people out there. There's a lot of scumbags or whatever you want to say, you know, just careful with language on the podcast. Whatever you want to label other people as. So, you know, we can put that outside of ourselves. We can start to think, is there something about me, the choices I'm making, the people that I feel attracted to, that may say something about the past that I haven't dealt with? Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember I used to, years and years ago, I was doing some work with somebody in sort of business workshops and communication. And there was the experience where often the workshop that I was watching other people do, another person in particular was doing, and they often didn't get good feedback from the group. And what was really interesting was at the end, the person would say, "Yeah, wasn't that a great workshop? It's a pity about the kind of the losers in the group who kind of, you know, don't recognise the value that I was giving them." Mm. And I thought it's a little bit of a curious way of taking that feedback. It's sort of, you know, thinking, actually, what do you need to do? If it's one person who doesn't like it, that's different.
Yeah.
Because we all have different perspectives on what we like or not. But if a group of 20 people all give the same sort of feedback, I think then it's time to reflect. Maybe there's something that we need to look at ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's whether we take that feedback more externally or internally. And sometimes we call it the frame of reference. So many people are more internally referenced and many people are more externally referenced. And it's like on a continuum. So if I'm very externally referenced, then any feedback from outside can basically demolish me. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I'm internally referenced, then it doesn't matter what somebody says, I know that I'm okay. And it's probably not good to be on either end of a continuum. It's better to be somewhere in the middle where we can look at the feedback and also know ourselves and reflect on what is it within me that I need to change.
Right. So you're saying when there's a setback, sometimes it might also be helpful to hear what others have got to say about that, yeah? To have some external evaluation of what happened to us.
Well, it could be. But I think also not necessarily just blaming others. Because if I blame others, I'm very internal. So, but if I'm looking, in this case, I think it's sort of thinking, what did I contribute to this as opposed to what did other people do to me that caused this to happen? So it's not necessarily about getting feedback from them, but a sense of, you know, where the balance of responsibility lies in terms of learning.
Yeah, so because I think setbacks can very often also be, particularly if your experience tells you again and again, oh, this is a setback, then maybe ask yourself, what is it that I'm doing here to self-sabotage, for example? What is it that I'm doing repeatedly that actually is not helping me? In, you know, what is it that I'm doing, for example, in terms of my partner choice, as you say, you know, that again and again enables me to sabotage the relationship that I actually desire to have? So setbacks can be a good way, sort of, you can reframe a setback, I suppose that's what we're trying to say. You can reframe a setback as an opportunity for inquiry and an opportunity for learning, potentially. It's easily said, I know, but that opportunity is always there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, this is something, for example, people may experience in, for example, applying for jobs. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, they go for a job, they felt the interview went really well, but they didn't get the job. And if there's that sense how we take that in terms of, well, it was something about me, I wasn't good enough, or whether it's actually they probably had someone in mind initially anyway, and the interviews were part of that just sort of formal process. And it's that sort of, how does that affect you moving forwards? Do we allow this to think, well, there's no point applying for a job because I'm just not good enough. No one's going to accept me. Or do we just allow ourselves to know that, you know, this is a numbers game. It's not necessarily just about me. It's about continually moving forwards. Or also, what do I need to do to improve for the next interview?
Yeah, or so am I going for the right jobs here? Might be another. So it's this whole question of maybe reframing, reassessing the frame, reassessing what is it that I'm actually... Am I looking for the right thing here, for example? Yeah. Same with relationships. Am I looking for the right kind of person here? Yeah. Or do I need to reassess?
Yeah. And I remember that, you know, when I was doing my master's in forensic psychology and criminology, I remember at, like, the beginning of a course I quite enjoyed. Mm. But then there was a module that was just, I found it was so dull that I just thought, you know, and some people dropped out in the module because they didn't enjoy it either. And I, you know, there was that thing, well, this feels like it's just an effort to continue, and is there any point? Mm. But then thinking, well, you know, I'm almost through this. And at the end of the day, I was doing this partly for the qualification or to learn some things new. So it's thinking, well, you know, I might not like all of this, but there's some things I might learn. How can I use those things, or how can I get something from this and just complete this, which kind of got me through. Mm-hmm. But it's finding how you kind of make that meaning from the situation is really important. Mm-hmm.
And, okay, also, if you experience a lot of setbacks, that might be incredibly wounding. You know, there's no denying that. It might be very, very painful if, again and again, I'm coming back to this whole scenario of dating, for example, if again and again you experience that setback of a date not going well and you're not meeting a new partner. So there's also something here about how you build that resilience, how you look after yourself in this process. That's really important, isn't it? That you allow some time to, you know, to nurture yourself again, to do something that's particularly soothing for you, for example, that's particularly enjoyable for you, so that you build that in to rebuild the strength, because it might take a bit of time to rebuild some strength again, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing, when you have setback after setback, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes for you know, that may lead to that sense that you're failing. Mm-hmm. It can lead to that, you know, even to depression at the extremes, where we feel, is there any point doing anything? Because all I experience is setbacks. Mm-hmm. This experience that setbacks are permanent. They're going to constantly be experienced. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, that they're everywhere. It's sort of, you know, with some of the work of Seligman, I think he talked about with that learned helplessness, as there's the different factors of experiencing things as being permanent rather than temporary.
That's right.
Yeah. Where, you know, that and pervasive, where it pervades all of our aspects of our life. Mm-hmm. So it feels like the setbacks are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, you know, stepping back. And there's a third factor, which
I can't remember
offhand. Yeah. It's like personal. We take them as kind of to do with us.
That's right.
As well.
Personalization.
Yeah. So, you know, it's essentially also remembering that, you know, we may experience these setbacks, whether it's every year, whether it's every other year, but it's not every second of the day. It's not in all of the areas of our life. There are other areas. Sometimes it's useful to reflect on, you know, well, what areas of life are there where we have areas that we can be grateful for? Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's different, you know, attitudes as to gratitude, but I think for some people, you know, just being aware of, you know, what things in our life can we find some gratitude for? Mm-hmm. You know, what things can we appreciate?
And what can we draw strength from again? I think that's important, isn't it? What is it that nurtures?
Yeah.
You know, could it be friendships, for example? You know, relationships can be very nurturing. So you might want to draw on that and remind yourself, absolutely.
Yeah.
And of course, a little bit of stoicism goes a long way as well. There's something to learn from the Stoics, this sense of that, you know, this too shall pass. This idea of, as you say, of permanence, that, you know, a lot of the time things change again, circumstances change again, experiences in life can change again, and they can change any time.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, and I think there's a really useful expression, which, first of all, I came across in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which is, and of course there's variations of this in lots of places, but it's there's no failure, only feedback. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was very empowering, which is that sense that, you know, we do something, it doesn't seem to work out, and we feel we failed. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if you think about failure, what does failure feel like for most people?
If
you
feel,
yeah, if you feel you failed, so it sort of, you know, it takes you back to those experiences maybe at early school days where, you know, you get handed an assignment, you have this big red cross through it, and you're made to feel like there's something not okay about you. You know, I've known people who, like, the class laughed at them because they got it wrong. So there's always that feeling that, you know, failure is painful.
Of course, a lot of it, and this ties in, this is another discussion and another podcast that we did ages ago, which it ties into shame, doesn't it? And shame is one of the most unbearable feelings that we can have. It's very challenging to manage shame, the sense of I'm a loser, I'm a failure, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable enough, I'm not this, that or the other.
Yeah,
ties into it very strongly as well. Actually, I think there's a very strong overlap here between shame and setbacks. So for those of you who haven't listened to our podcast on shame, listen to it. I just think it's quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and that's sort of, I suppose, the way we relate to setbacks. It ties into those identities that we formed when we were earlier, where there may be a lot of shame associated. So, but in terms of there's no failure, only feedback as well, I think it's the metaphor of something like a thermostat in a room. So if you set a thermostat into a room for, say, 20 degrees Celsius, the room doesn't stay 20 degrees. The thermostat's job is to notice when things change. So if it goes up to 21 degrees, like say you're in a place with air conditioning, then it will put the air conditioner on to get it back down to 20. If it goes under, it will put the heating on to get it back up to 20. So the thermostat basically notices feedback. I think that's the key, is that it's not that, you know, if the room went up to 21 degrees, the thermostat isn't going to say, like, I'm a failure as the thermostat, I might as well give up. It's just notices feedback and adjusts accordingly. And I think that's a useful metaphor, because it's the same with, you know, actions in life, when particularly those things that we take action on. You know, some of those things that happen outside, like the car breaking down, you know, we could think, do we need it serviced more regularly? But, you know, sometimes we're doing that. But those things where we're taking action on and we're consistently not getting the results that we want, I think it's thinking, you know, is it useful to see this as failure or feedback? What can I learn from this? So what adjustments can I make to do things differently? Because if we always do things the same way, so if we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always gotten, another sort of well-used or maybe overused phrase. So it's like banging your head against a brick wall, hoping that, you know, if you do it long enough, that brick wall is going to come down.
Yeah.
But so it just causes pain.
Absolutely. And it's a systemic way of thinking that you describe there, particularly when you talk about feedback systems. And that's very relevant, of course, also in couple relationships, because couples are systems. And very often when there is a setback in the couple relationship, then it's very interesting to look at what happened in the system here. You know, if A did this, then B responded in that way, then A did this, and so on and so forth. What's the particular dynamic here in the system that always contributes to the same outcome? So absolutely. So setbacks, looking at setbacks from the perspective of systems theory can be very useful as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, having that sense of what it is that's important to you in life. Because as we said, is when you experience a setback, there has to be something that you wanted to move towards that you feel set back from. And like I said, sometimes we know what that is, but sometimes we don't. And I think taking time to think, actually, what is important in your life? What is it that you feel you're really set back from? It can be a really useful time to reflect.
Absolutely.
So thinking, you know, what direction do you want your life to be going in? You know, maybe that we feel set back from something minor, like, well, I, you know, in terms of getting the kind of house sorted out. But actually, what's really important to you? Thinking, what is it that's the bigger story? What is it that really, what's this really about?
And is it something, am I feeling, am I setting myself some tasks here or some objectives that are completely unattainable?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about a recent setback for me was that I didn't win a house that I entered. There was a competition. There was a competition here where you could pay in some money. It's like gambling, I suppose. And you had the chance of winning a super duper house in the countryside. Now, I didn't win that house. Surprise, surprise. And I experienced that as a setback. Yeah, because I had started in my fantasy to imagine, wow, moving into this fantastic house, furnishing it, and what a different life it would be. I didn't get it. I felt sad about it. Now, admittedly, not super sad, because I kind of expected this. But if we take this as an example, if I, you know, that this particular setback happened also because I had an objective and a goal that was pretty much unattainable, right?
Yeah.
So if you always set your objectives very, very high, then you're more likely to experience setbacks. Is that right?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily about setting your objectives and standards high. Okay. I think it's actually useful to do that.
Okay.
Because if you don't, we have less fulfillment in life. If you have very low expectations,
your life
will feel less sense of fulfillment.
Okay.
I think it's more to do with setting your goals in terms of those things that are more under your control.
Realistic.
Because if you set an outcome that relies on something or somebody else, like somebody drawing that prize, then you are likely to feel disappointed. You'd like to feel set back.
Yeah.
But if you set outcomes in terms of what, you know, essentially, it might take a lot of work, but you are able to move towards that because of your own actions, then that's very different. So I think the key thing here is, I think it's useful to set high goals, or kind of things that push you. I mean, not so extreme. You know, like, for example, if I said, well, I want to be prime minister, you know, it's unlikely. It's not impossible, but it's unlikely.
I
don't think I really want to, but it's, you know, it's unlikely. But you have to put so much work in that it's very, you know, it's unlikely.
So it's about attainable goals or realistic.
Yeah, it's about it's attainable and realistic.
That's the smart one.
And things that are, like I said, under your control. Because if it relies on somebody else, if it relies on, you know, basically somebody that you want to go out on a date with saying that they want to go on a date with you, you may feel set back because they may not want to. And there's nothing you can do that can change that because it's not up to you.
No, that's right. So there's sometimes very little control. But sometimes there is.
So setting realistic, achievable goals that but we have some control over.
Great. That's important.
Yeah, great. So, and if you want to find out more about how you can improve your relationships and create goals in your relationships to create a fulfilling relationship, head over to therelationshipmaze.com, where we have lots of free advice and our online course, The Relationship Maze, which will help you find and create or develop a fulfilling relationship from the relationship you currently have. And press subscribe right now. We look forward to speaking with you next time.
Take good care until then.